All right. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of At the Movies, where we are here to discuss going to the movies, why we think that experience is so impactful. And today we have Brandon and Kara with us today. How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
Very well. Why are we so good today? Yeah. Why are we so good today, Kara?
Because today is my birthday.
Woo!
Happy birthday to Kara.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, officially. It's not official until it's recorded on our podcast.
It's true.
But now it's official.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now, finally, halfway through the day, it's official.
Yeah.
She just turned 21.
Start out good. My the actual first happy birthday I got today was from Christine the car, from John Carpenter's Christine.
Yeah.
A few years ago, I did a screening of Christine and invited the guy who has like the only remaining full screen used car. And he came and
wow.
Was super nice. You know, customers loved it. And every year since on my birthday, the Facebook for Christine the car wishes me a happy manufacturing day. And this morning, that was my first notification. And I was like, yay, that's nice.
That's a good way to start.
Well, you cut out a little bit for the second part there. What was the last part?
Oh, just that when I woke up this morning, that was the first notification
that
I had was from Christine in the car.
I've never had a happy birthday wished to me from a car before.
No.
We all can have goals, I guess.
We all can. So what's your favorite birthday movie?
Like
do a rundown of birthday movies.
Movie to watch on your birthday or a birthday themed?
Let's go with both, but let's do birthday themed movies first.
What's a good birthday themed?
Well, I would go with 16 Candles first.
Right off the bat. That has to be number one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Easy. Yeah. Yeah.
16 Candles for sure. What else is?
Does Happy Death Day count?
Yes, and happy
of course.
Death and happy death day to you.
I didn't see that one.
Well, it's glorious. Other birthday movies, you remember The Game?
Mm-hmm.
Michael Douglas and John Penn. Always creeped me out for some reason, getting stuck in a universe that or in a situation you can't control. And then wasn't it his birthday on Falling Down, Michael Douglas's birthday in the movie Falling Down?
I believe it was.
Yeah.
And then my last one of note was 13 Going on 30. Isn't that a birthday movie? Isn't that about his birthday or their? Sure. Why not?
Yeah. So yeah.
I would also go Liar Liar. That's another good birthday movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't think about Liar Liar. Is 17 Again just a Freaky Friday remake or was that birthday centric around
I don't even
17th birthday?
It feels birthday centric because it has an age
in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I guess that kind of concludes our little birthday movie roundup. So again, happy birthday, Kara. We're so glad
Thank you
would be sharing your birthday with us instead of off doing something, you know, more fun and productive.
But is there a movie you watch on your birthday? Kara,
she's frozen.
Frozen and her. She must
Stay
be at a
one.
Oh, you, we birthday? Didn't catch any of that.
Oh, did I cut out? Oh no.
Technical difficulties, like major.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine.
Yeah, most holidays I have like a go-to.
What is what's the birthday go-to?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I have a birthday go-to though. I think just like standard holidays, I have a bunch of go-tos, but not really birthday ones.
Well, are you gonna watch anything tonight?
Not that I can. No, I mean, I don't have really a plan for what to watch tonight. Usually birthdays I'm like doing something,
right?
Like going somewhere, traveling.
Not going to the movies tonight?
Yeah, no.
Hey Scott, we missed a birthday movie that I'm ashamed we didn't put in here, and we like to shoehorn this movie in every chance we get. True Romance starts on his birthday.
It does.
He's at the movie theater
And I should have thought of that because I've got a tattoo up on my arm. But again, I don't think of that as a birthday movie. I mean, he does celebrate his birthday, and he meets the love of his life, and you know, goes and kills her pimp, and then takes a suitcase full of coke to California. Like, that's a good birthday movie,
right? It's kind of like the Die Hard of birthday movies.
It is.
Being it the is Die indeed. Hard is a Christmas movie, but not about Christmas carols. All right, there's birthday talk, birthday movie talk. I'm going to...
Well, we usually also kind of recap with anything that anyone has been watching as of recently, anything that's worth noting. I haven't really been watching anything new, and we'll get to why when we get into our later subject. But yeah, I think the most recent things I've watched that I've logged, you know, in my viewings was...
Where do you log your viewings?
As of right now, I log them on Letterboxd. Where do you log yours?
I log mine on Letterboxd.
Yeah. No, so this is also a conundrum for me because I love the app. I love being able to log these movies and things, but also we'll get into this later. I haven't been watching as many movies because I've been, you know, stuck at home, working from home. Like you, I don't know. It's time. It's hard to find time to really digest things you want to watch when you're in your workspace, your play space, and you know, your relaxing space. But yeah, like,
which for most people, that's all one place right now.
Right. Right. But yeah, like I feel like Letterboxd has been motivating me to watch better movies for the sake of logging them. Because again, like I like the outward facing portion of it where like you have this aspect where you can share the things that you are so connected to. And it gives me a reason to like go rewatch True Romance because then I can log it and talk about it. But yeah, I haven't been watching many new things where I'm having a new experience. I've been basically watching old things. So recently this week, I rewatched the classic Zucker Brothers parody film, Top Secret. Beautiful. And I also watched the, you know, early 90s buddy film, Last Boy Scout, because I'm just a huge Tony Scott fan. Anyone else got anything?
Underrated
Shane
movie.
Black wrote it. Didn't Shane Black write that?
He did. The guy who wrote Lethal Weapon and Monster Squad and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Which is another awesome, like, Christmas but not Christmas.
Right. Okay. So what else everyone else been watching? Anything good?
Kara, have you been watching anything?
I not birthday. Really? Loved Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar. Yeah. I mean, if you need something just dumb, like in the same vein as like MacGruber,
mm-hmm.
watch it. I mean,
give us the quick synopsis.
They are a couple of middle-aged best friends who have never left their hometown. They decide to go on this like Florida vacation that, you know, they think is extravagant and awesome. And it's just like so goofy all the way through.
So were these characters that Kristen Wiig and I forget the other woman's name. Were they, I don't watch SNL enough, so I can never tell. Is this like an existing sketch that they've just.
No, I don't think so. Not that I know.
Just new characters that they've
just,
created.
Yeah, just new.
The way they did the trailer and the way they did like the teaser for it. You know, that was kind of hinting and parroting at like, oh, this could be a Stranger Things trailer. Mm-hmm. And then when they did the reveal of the two characters, I was like, am I supposed to know who they are? Because I don't. And so I wasn't sure if these were like pre-existing characters they had done elsewhere and now they gave them mm-hmm. a movie, you know?
But yeah, apparently. I don't think so. Like, I'm pretty sure just, and the two leads wrote it. So it's like, you can tell they riffed on any stupid thing they could think of.
Well, anything Kristen Wiig will do is I'll give it a chance because she's pretty much a comedic genius.
Yeah,
she is. I think Scott and I need to pick a random place to go visit on a road trip and then we can write a movie about it.
We can do that. We'll
have to come up with a good name for that. So that's on the list now. Barb and Star visit Vista Del Mar. Is that right? Is that all?
Yeah, go to. Yeah, go that's to. All the words.
It's all the words, but not necessarily in the right order. And I watched Chaos Walking in an advanced screening. I was supposed to go to the trade screening, and we wound up getting a link to it. I was excited to go see it in a movie theater, which would have been today. But we watched it at home on our couch, which was not as fun.
And how was it?
It was good. I mean, I on my Letterboxd, if you want to follow me there, I gave it.
Oh, I do.
I know, 3.5 stars, but I didn't write a full review on it. And it's good. It's sci-fi, and I mean, good performances. There's one scene that literally changed the energy in my house. And it has to do with a dog. But that's all I'll say at this time. But you know, you just...
I know where that's going.
It's never, never good when you have to mention it on a podcast that there's a scene with a dog.
It's true.
So, but it's good. I'm excited that the performances are good. It's a cool concept, you know, spaceships, new planets, travel. They brush by the fact that her grandparents were from Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Her grandparents were from Earth. Her parents were not from Earth and didn't live anywhere but on a spaceship, and she was born on a spaceship. So I guess since this is landing on Mars week and it's 200 and some million miles away, you know, space travel, you could wind up being born on a spaceship and live your whole life there in the future.
Maybe sometime in our lifetime. That'd be wild.
Wild.
All right. Anything else going on in our individual lives before we move on to industry news? Anyone got anything?
Other than, not necessarily in my personal life, but speaking of spacecraft, there's going to be a all civilian SpaceX mission coming up, which excites me to watch on TV.
Yeah. I don't know. Part of me deep down thinks that I want to be one of those people that has the nerve to like go explore the universe like that and be like, oh no, I'm going to Mars and you're never going to see me again. That's where I'm going to live the rest of my life, is on a distant planet with 8 other people, you know, trying to grow potatoes like Matt Damon.
Right. So here's the deal. Are you serious that you want to go? Would you go on the SpaceX flight?
I mean, it's a big commitment. I mean, as of right now, it's
there.
It's easy to be like, of course I'd go. Of course. If they would give me a spot on the spaceship, I'd go. But okay. Again, there's probably some things I would miss. Like, I've got a pretty big movie collection that I'm sure they probably wouldn't let me bring.
But the SpaceX thing, I think it's a short period of time. It's only a couple days or whatever that you
orbit. Oh, this isn't going to Mars?
No, this is
I know they're planning a mission for actually like have people colonize Mars.
Right. But no, there's a SpaceX flight coming up. And if you're serious, you can make a $10 contribution to St. Jude and be entered to win a seat.
That'd be pretty cool.
If you're serious about going, I'm making it. I will make the donation for you right now.
Oh, I will. I would definitely go. If it's just a ride in space and I get to fly around for a day and then come back, yeah, sign me up.
I don't know all the details, as I typically don't.
I think you're trying to get me off the planet, Brandon. I think you're like, wherever they're going, no, take them with you.
No, but you know what a great podcast episode that would be?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
I do it all for content, Scott.
That's fine. And before we move on, so you had a Bigfoot story that you wanted to tell, because I'm wearing my Bobcat Goldthwait t-shirt. And then we were, before we jumped on the podcast and hit the record button, Kara was talking about how Bobcat Goldthwait, within the past, I forget when he directed it, but he directed a movie about Bigfoot. You know, the actor who's been in Police Academy and all the Savage Steve Holland films like One Crazy Summer. Yeah, he's a director now. And he released recently directed a movie about Bigfoot.
What was the movie called?
It's called Willow Creek.
Is it good?
The suspense is great. Like, it's a couple and they're hiking and kind of, you know,
it's like a found footage film, isn't it?
Yeah. And then they're in the tent and you're hearing stuff go on outside the tent, which is all
Sasquatch.
I mean, it's good. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Brandon has a Bigfoot story he wants to share.
I have a Bigfoot story. First of all, let's go down the list. Who believes that there is a Bigfoot or is Sasquatch?
I don't believe it. I don't buy it. I'm not a cryptozoologist person.
Kara, are you a believer?
I mean, why not? I mean, I like to think that Bigfoot is like a werewolf and like people can turn, like we haven't found a Bigfoot.
Because someone's dead. Like turning into Bigfoot.
Yeah, like they're like turning in and out of Bigfoot.
I think okay. People, somebody should just, we have so many good creative thoughts for movie storylines that you could just listen to this podcast and
make your were Bigfoot story.
We are a treasure trove of ideas, plot twists.
As long as Christopher Walken is the, you know, Bigfoot, Sasquatch, werewolf person, like, then I'm on board.
Okay, so my neighbor, not where I currently live, but where I lived previous to this, on his Jeep, and I would walk past it periodically, had an official Sasquatch. It wasn't Sasquatch hunting, but Sasquatch adventurer sticker on his Jeep. And he was one of these guys who would, like, he was ready to go at a moment's note, right?
Right.
Like, hacked up, ready to go. So he straight up told me a firsthand account story of his encounter with Bigfoot. Him and his son were in Arkansas in the Ozark Mountains, and he personally saw Bigfoot.
Like from a distance? Like did it come up and like greet him, like shake his hand? Like what kind of encounter are we talking about here?
Within 50 yards,
okay. And so he didn't meet Bigfoot, he saw Bigfoot. Okay.
But now he's been on, because he has had this encounter and he's somewhat of an expert. I don't know if that's a thing. He's a person. And he has a sticker, so it's official. If you put in a sticker on your car, you're kind of licensed. Mm-hmm. And he's been on other expeditions, and he's even been to them in Alaska, where there's a tribe and they say they frequently trade with Bigfoot that comes down out of the woods. So
what, like stocks or something?
No, you know what, they Bitcoin Bigfoot traders. Trades stickers. He got the sticker from
like goods yeah. And things, like
goods and services.
Yeah, it's not Bitcoin. I'm sorry for that. that's my Bigfoot account.
Yeah, my my biology teacher when I was in the 10th grade was obsessed with Bigfoot, and like he would even go do his own little hunts, and he would take his own like resin castings of like footprints and stuff, and he would bring him to class. Like he was hardcore into it. He was like, no, it's real. And he was not a cool teacher. He was like very monotone. Like everyone thought he was really strange, you know. It's probably not a surprise, but I remember him always trying to convince us that the cement castings he had in his classroom were bona fide real, because they all had dermal ridges in them. And like, you can't fake that. Like dermal ridges are like what your fingerprints and stuff are. And he's like, and they're all unique. So like, this can't be a fake footprint because I've got dermal ridges in my casting right here. And I was like, you know how many special effects people can do that like in an hour? Like, dude, get over it. Okay, we've talked about Bigfoot for way too long.
That's and maybe okay. Some other things for way too long. So.
Okay, so a little bit of industry news. Tom and Jerry opens up this weekend. Also simultaneously on HBO Max. And that kind of will tie in a little bit to today's theme. Any projections on how you guys think it's going to do? I mean, I realize that there are lots of theaters out there that are still... either not open or operating at limited capacities. And then also having, this is what, the third or fourth film that has been released in tandem with HBO Max, is that right? Little Things, Wonder Woman, Tom and Jerry, wasn't there another one that came out around the same time?
The Little Thing, did you just say that?
I said Little Things, yeah. So maybe there's only...
I think that's it so far.
Any projections on how you guys think it's gonna do?
Wow, that's a loaded question.
Well, I mean, we can talk more specifically about the, not about the content of the film, but like whether or not it's going to limit the draw because it's also being shown for free on HBO Max.
Okay, let's play over under.
Okay.
Is it at the box office? Is it over or under 6 million?
Under.
Yeah, I think under.
Is it over or under 4 million?
Over. So I'm hanging around 5 million.
There you go.
Way to play the deductive logic game.
So there's our official At the Movies podcast prediction for Tom and Jerry. $5 million at the box office.
I mean, I think it would do, you know, way, way, way stronger than that in more ideal circumstances. You know, like family movies always, you know, perform really, really well. You know, when families have a place to go and do something with their kids, get them out of the house for a little bit. But yeah, like this one might be tougher, you know? Anyways, anything else industry news? New York City is apparently set to reopen next month with limited capacities. Maybe Brandon can explain to us why the New York City market is so crucial to the theater industry, just in general, nationwide. Are you muted? You're muted, dude.
Dude. Podcast 101, unmute.
So many technical difficulties today.
Okay, New York, huge market. Lots of screens in New York. People go to the movies in New York. People seeking out entertainment. It is a culture creator market. So it can swing if things catch on in New York. Then certainly they can kind of start sweeping around and get into the zeitgeist of what's popular. But it is, again, in my opinion, it's tends to be coastal. So the studios, when they see New York and LA open, you know, hopefully they will start putting more things on the release calendar and keeping dates set. So as we look out, you know, March is pretty thin. April is really thin with new releases. May starts getting stronger, I think, really starting with Black Widow. And then in June, it gets really strong. So let's make sure we hold all those June dates.
Absolutely.
Especially kind of mid to late June. And then we will, that's why New York is really an important market. And they are opening at 25% capacity. So I think that is a limitation.
Mm-hmm.
And before anybody gets too excited, I think we need to see at least 50% capacities in New York and LA before things really start taking off. But this is a great sign as we're getting to the other side of this and vaccinations are holding and different strains the vaccination seems to be taking care of most of those. So it's I think there's a light at the end of the tunnel now in this whole process. And as we were talking about right before this, I mean, we're coming up on, like, we're in week 50 out of theaters basically being in shutdown. I think kind of March, that weekend of March 13th last year was the last weekend that there was, you know, wide, everything was really open. And then we went into that following week and everything started getting shut down. So I think we're in week 50 and it's light at the end of the tunnel moving forward.
Looks like it. Yeah, so one last piece of industry news that I had to include, just because I respect this man so much, not just because he's such a great filmmaker, but he's also been a really big champion for the cinema experience. Edgar Wright curated that really great Empire series of articles talking to filmmakers about their most memorable moviegoing experience. And he has a new movie coming out this year, Last Night in Soho, but also it has just been announced that he is going to direct the remake of the classic Schwarzenegger film, The Running Man, which I am super excited about.
Super excited. Let's run down some Edgar Wright here. So Last Night in Soho, currently set to release in October of this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's, and I've been looking forward to that. I think that's going to be great. He has been a real champion of exhibition, and I love the Empire series. So what are some of his other films that you put up there? And
well, I mean, Shaun of the Dead is one of my favorite films of all time. It's a near perfect movie. And it's tough to say that about a comedy, because again, it's hard to judge a comedy sometimes on its content, because it's meant to make you laugh, not necessarily make you think or anything like that. But the way the script is written and the way that they retell the same jokes to kind of reiterate the feeling of like being a zombie is just a living a life of repetition. And so they're always calling back those same jokes over and over and over again. It's a near perfect script.
Man, that's huge praise.
It's very huge praise. And yeah, like everything that he's done since has been basically he's been one-upping his skill set. Like you can really tell once he starts getting into you know, his realm with Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and then Baby Driver, with the way that he has really orchestrated tempo into his editing and making sure all these little tiny details get fit perfectly in place. Like that's a masterful filmmaker right there.
Yeah, I loved Hot Fuzz. I thought that was great. Baby Driver was probably my favorite movie of that year. It mm-hmm. was spot on. I think there was one miscast in there. I'm not going to bring it up, but I did bring it up. and so I loved Baby Driver as a movie marketer. So one of the things we did for Baby Driver was I took the marketing team to a racetrack and we raced cars, like real exotic cars. And there is footage out there somewhere of this. But the other thing, so we all got in one of the guys who went to the track with us showed up in his wife's brand new minivan. So you have professional race car drivers with you. And we told the guy, hey, this is what it's about. And so we loaded everybody up in the minivan and we live streamed our race around the track with the professional driver, with the baby driver.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally, I thought we were going to die. I thought either we're flipping this thing or this thing's driving off the tracks. And this was like, all tires were shot. I think we lost a wheel or something. And it was the guy's wife's brand new. So anyway, that footage up. It was a great promotion for Baby Driver. It was a lot of fun. So love that movie. And then he signed on to something else. Another project he has in development. So
yeah. The only thing of his I haven't seen yet is his new documentary, which Kara saw and she said it was great. So
yeah, the Sparks Brothers.
Yeah.
It was on Sundance Virtual.
Oh, got it. So I can't see it anywhere yet.
Yeah. So they had two screenings of it. And it was super fun. Cause I mean, just like filmmaking, like you can tell his passion like shines through for whatever he makes.
Mm-hmm.
So you can tell he's just like a huge fan of their music, and it's, you know, a different realm than what he normally does with narrative features. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you can tell a lot of the editing and a lot of the stuff he does in the documentary is just like fun filmmaking that he never got to kind of do in other projects. So he used that as like an area to let me do a weird animated thing or let me do this weird thing here. So it's super fun. Yeah.
And if you haven't, I mean, this is semi-topical because it's not a movie, but has anyone familiar with his television series that actually like got him and Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, like mm-hmm. This is how they became friends, was working on a TV show called Spaced. A really great TV show that's just chock full of movie references and music references. Like the episode, they had an episode that actually gave them the idea to make Shaun of the Dead. They had to do basically a short intro to an episode where Simon Pegg's character is really disoriented, and he thinks that like people in his house are zombies. And so they basically had to shoot an episode sort of like a zombie movie. And they're like, wouldn't it be fun to like make a zombie movie? And then they wrote Shaun of the Dead. And that's what started the Cornetto trilogy.
Amazing. Well, he's a champion of cinema. I would love to have him on. We might even have
give him a call.
Yeah, we'll give him a call, reach out on Twitter or whatever. And we'd love to have him part of some major news coming up here in a few weeks too, if he wants to continue to support
Absolutely.
The magic of going to the movies.
Absolutely.
So shout out to Edgar Wright.
Okay, well, should we move on to today's discussion topic? All right, finally, we're getting there. Yeah. Okay. So I think we've already covered some of these bases, and this is a topic that I think we've kind of glossed over here or there, but it was something I was thinking about specifically last night as I was trying to figure out, like, what have I watched recently, you know? And so ultimately, today's topic is about basically streaming your content at home and whether or not that will on-demand movies basically change the way that we digest content, and is while as satisfying as binge watching your favorite TV show or your favorite movies can be, does that somehow negate the experience a bit? And are we conditioning ourselves to respect the content less? And the reason I was thinking about this was when I was, you know, we have these weekly emails that we all, like, our whole team will kind of, you know, basically on Sundays we'll like say like, oh, what is everyone watching? And I've got to really think, because I haven't been watching much content. Whenever I put something on at home, I find myself thinking, what can I digest easily, quickly, without having to think too much? And that's probably going to be operating in the background. So it's just noise that I'm, you know, half into while I'm working or while I'm doing something else. And yeah, so like I watch a lot of TV at like versus movies, mainly because of the fact that like it's something I can turn on and either watch for a half an hour or for 4 hours, depending on how long I'm in front of the couch. And I feel like that has also started to change the way I use my TV and my couch at home. Like I haven't been using it to watch movies anymore. And when I do, again, it's usually for the same purpose. Like I don't really want to be introduced to anything new at home. I want something comfortable, something that's easy to digest, or something I can just ignore if I need to, you know?
That's so much to unpack there. Tara, go, let's hear it.
Yeah, I mean, I have definitely still been watching a lot of films. But I mean, I get the, you know, it's not the same experience at all. There's a competition with your phone and everything else going on in the house. Mm-hmm. I've got kind of two different movie watching paths that like my husband and I take. There's like background doesn't really matter watching. And then if we actually want to watch something, we will like move two recliners in front of the TV, turn the light, like we basically try to recreate a theater. I mean, it sounds pathetic, but it's like, we like do like a no phones, turn the lights off.
No, but that's
and
good.
Try to like make you're a pathetic
a that like makes it more of a pleasurable experience for you. Like I don't have that kind of patience, because otherwise I'm going to sit mm-hmm. there for an hour clicking through things being like, I've seen that, I wanted to see this, but like what else is out there? So I'm going to keep on scrolling. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep on trying to find something, unless like what I've actually found is one thing that has been motivating me to watch more movies has been using Letterboxd. Mm-hmm. Mainly because like one, I don't really write reviews when I do it. Basically, if I'm watching something that I've watched before, I like to just post like one of my favorite quotes from the movie and then I just move on. And so as of recently, like there have been things I'm like, oh, I want to post this quote. So now I've got to go watch this movie so I can log into Letterboxd.
Yeah.
So number one, I am so happy that you take time to really respect the art of the movie and create the conditions to do that. I think that's really impressive, first of all. So, and I think that that's also, we miss that because we don't, when we're watching at home, we don't create the conditions to really immerse ourselves in the content or in the movie or the story or the art or whatever. And you miss so much when you fail to do that, because there's so much going on screen, you know, all the little details and the layers of the movie, whether it's the story or the acting or the cinematography or the music, how it all blends together to make this, you know, art that we love. So I'm really impressed that you do that, Kara.
Yeah, I mean, and it's still not a substitute. I mean, you know, we do that probably once a week when there's something like bigger that we want to pay attention to. But I mean, we just did Nomadland and it still felt like, on my Letterboxd review, I wrote that it felt criminal to watch it on a TV because it's so like landscape based that it just felt wrong. You know, like I felt like I should be watching this on a theater screen right now. I shouldn't be watching this on a TV. And I mean, even like Wonder Woman, which I mean, we know wasn't the greatest film, but I mean, the jet scene works. I was like, this is not for a TV, you know, like there have been several instances where it just doesn't cut it.
I ultimately think as we get back to going to the movies, we're going to realize that the movie going experience is, you know, what we've really missed about movies. And I have said this before, pre-pandemic, streaming is not a replacement for movie theaters. It is a replacement for cable. It's a replacement for TV watching, because we sit down and we go through all this, what do I want to watch? I can't get into that right now. I don't feel the movie. And when you go to the movie theaters, you've bought into, I'm going and I'm going to participate and I'm going to be in the space and the mindset for what that movie genre, actor, you know, all that is about. And so we just lose that at home. And I have too many streaming services and I'd still default to the lowest common denominator. And I will put on, because I watch movies here in my office, but again, I can't really get deep into the movie because I have other things going on. Or at night, there's too many other distractions. And that's the part that I think really movie theaters need to dive into more, is no distractions. You know, you really can come in here and let go and escape to be part of this experience. And I'm telling you, when we get back open and people go to the movies for their first, you know, back for their first experience, they are going to realize how much they missed it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And though I think people will also be way more forgiving of films that, like, maybe they weren't as impressive, you know, like, I think, you know, I don't want to pick in any movies because I know that, like, it's hard to be like, oh, that movie was poorly made, when like, I can't make a better movie than that. So like, who am I to judge this person's vision or the studio's vision or what have you?
And but also, when movies that are made to be on a movie theater screen, I get like the second and third time you watch it, you may watch it at home or on an airplane or whatever, or on your phone. But when you first watch that movie, and I think we're going to get into this space, and I hope the studios do, that they believe in making movies for the big screen, and they understand that there are some movies that it's okay to be made for streaming. Mm-hmm. And we have watched too many movies in the last year that are made for the big screen, and we've had to settle to watch them at home. And I get it. Sometimes a movie comes out and it's in and out of theaters before you get a chance to watch it. So you see it as you're going, oh, I wanted to watch that. So again, I've lowered my expectations now for watching that movie because I missed it in the best experience. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, okay, it's not going to be as good, but I'll watch it here on my TV or whatever. So, man, I can't wait to have this conversation in 6 months when everybody's back.
I know, me too. And you know, I used to have a more discipline like Kara does. Like, I've got a big movie collection, Blu-rays, DVDs, what have you.
Laser discs.
I don't have laser.
Yeah, disc. Scott has like, he's like the Criterion closet is like in his house.
Oh yeah. And I have my Criterion collection separate from the rest of them. They're
on the shelf. You don't want them blending.
Well, no, like the way they're organized is very specific to the way I would browse for things.
Take
but anyways,
how you organize them.
How do I organize them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's what I'll do. Anyone who's listening to this, go to our social channel and I will show you a picture of what my movie catalog looks like. And I will very discreetly label where everything is. And I'll color code everything. It'll be brilliant. But yeah, I've got a big movie collection. So one thing that I did when streaming first became popular would be like, oh, well, I have this movie on the shelf and it's also on streaming. I would make sure that if I wanted to watch that movie, I wouldn't watch it on streaming. I would go pull it off of my shelf because that's how committed to the experience I was. I had this mentality of like, well, no, the quality of the experience is important, you know? So if I can get the best quality picture and sound, if that's coming from my player versus a streaming app of some kind, like, yeah, I used to have that discipline, but I don't anymore because streaming has become way too popular and it's too easy to be like, well, no, like, why would I go grab that movie off of my shelf when I don't have to get up off the couch? I can just press play and then there it is. And then it also, it creates a more, I don't know, a more interesting problem once you realize that these streaming platforms are now creating content that you can only exclusively get there, you know? So I don't know. I think there's probably a lot more to dive into here, but I think that's probably all we have for today, unless anyone has some, you know, Jerry Springer final thoughts on our topic of discussion for today.
I'm going to close up today wishing Kara a happy birthday.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. This will be for the sixth time today. Happy birthday, Kara. Yeah,
and as a special birthday gift to Kara, we are making a donation to St. Jude to register Scott to go on SpaceX.
Right.
Happy birthday.
Only if he podcasts from there, if he wins.
It'll be great content that day. So you're in, Scott.
Well, luckily I don't get motion sickness. So like, send me to the moon. I don't care. Sign me up. All right. Well, that will conclude today's episode. Thank you everyone so much for joining us. And until next time, we will see you at the movies.